Good Saturday morning. Welcome to another edition of the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks Conservation Show. I'm Kyle Lenzner, and today we have Jamie Peckelder, the CO supervisor out of Milbank. How's it going today, Jamie?
Morning. It's going real good.
Today we're going to start off the show by just covering some of the outdoor report on what's going on around the area here. Turkey hunting definitely starting to pick up now that we've gotten rid of the snow. I know we've covered that the last few weeks, and it didn't start off too good there, but here this week, now that the temperatures are picking up, guys are able to get out there and birds are getting a little more active as the breeding season's kicking into full swing, and guys are starting to report some pretty good success. So if you do have a turkey tag, it'd be a good time to get out there and use that while the weather's good here and before all the ticks and mosquitoes come out, which if we keep up this weather, shouldn't be too far away. So
yeah, you've got till May 20th to get it done. There's what I've seen with turkeys so far is they still look like they're in their winter mood there for a while and still kind of bunched up, but starting to see some lone hens run around, and I think it's just going to get better from here on out.
Yep. So the other hunting season we got open right now is the spring snow goose conservation order. That is open up till May 8th, so you got about a week and a half yet to go out there and chase some snow geese around. Not a whole lot of movement through the area right now. Still got a few little flocks going through. There were a few birds that got pushed south there in that last storm, but a majority of them had made it through to the north up there already and were north of that snow line. So a few birds coming through, a few guys trying. Some guys are still having some success harvesting snow geese, but it is on the lighter side. Not a lot of geese moving through, so got a week and a half if you want to still go out and look for some. Other than that, we can jump over into the fishing. Not a whole lot of fishing going on here this last week. We're in that transition period where the ice is going off and water's starting to open up. So guys have been pretty much limited to where those areas where the ice has already receded, which has been around culverts or creeks or something that's running into the lakes where it's kind of pushed that ice away and has melted and broke up that ice. And over in Clark County, we'll start over there. Dry Lake number 2, there is a few spots that are opened up enough where guys can get out there, do a little long rod fishing. Reed Lake has a few places that the ice has opened up and guys can get in there and do some long rod fishing as well. Haven't heard too much success yet. A little bit of northern success, and that's about it. As those northern are usually the first ones to move in. Walleyes guys just haven't been able to get out to where those walleye usually move in close to shore. So this weekend here should be a good weekend for some of those to get to. I know I seen out on Goose Lake there were places that were opening and up enough for guys to get out there. Lunkers, definitely guys out there trying. I know they're getting a few fish. Haven't heard too much yet. A lot of water flowing through there, so it makes fishing difficult. And as that water goes down and the temperatures keep warming, those walleye should start moving in there a little heavier. So getting that time of year, getting closer, getting to feel more like spring every day. So Hamlin County down there, Lake Ponset, definitely places to fish down there. I know guys have been doing pretty good off the Stone Bridge on the north side there, catching walleye right now in northern, and kind of a mixed bag up there, but most guys are targeting those walleye. So a few places to go and try if you're getting that itch to go out and do some fishing. Ice travel is definitely not advised right now. Further north you get, I don't know what it's like up north. Have you heard?
No, it's starting to decrease quite a bit. The ice is turning black, and it's really not very good. I know on Big Stone, we've lost a lot of ice there. The lake started to open up here a couple days ago, and they're actually sliding a dock in at Hartford Beach. And so there's going to probably be some guys pushing boats out here pretty quick.
Yep.
It's we had our opener out there last weekend for the Border Waters opener for walleye, northern pike, and bass. But as most of you know, we still had ice on the lake, so it was really not much of an opener at all. And the ice that was there was sketchy to get on and just a little bit spooky to be out on. There was a few people that tried it. Success was pretty marginal. There was a couple open areas there on the very north end and the very south end that people fish with long rods, but just pretty slow for success. The the best activity you're going to see now is the guys are going to be out there hitting it pretty hard with the open water that's showing up. And with all the water that's entered that system there at Big Stone, it's dirty. The water's really cloudy, and it's going to start warming up a little bit here too. So things should get better there.
Yep, and you were mentioning it with that open water, guys are starting to get their boats out. I've even seen some increased boat activity heading down the highway, and I'm assuming that they're probably going out to the river as there's not enough water opened up in our area right now. With the boats being brought up, some stuff that guys need to go over is some of the safety equipment that's required. It is that time of year again to be thinking about getting your boats ready, and I see, Jamie, you got a list of stuff that guys should be thinking about when they're getting their boats ready for fishing.
Yeah, I'm sure there's quite a few people that are out there right now or today are going to get the boats out of storage or pulling them out of the backyard or wherever they keep them. I know mine's still tucked away. I need to get mine out. But some of the things that come along with that is the safety equipment that is required. And unfortunately, after you park it in the fall and it sits all winter, you know, if there's some things that can deteriorate or maybe a mouse or something gets in the boat and creates a nest and chews things up, so you got to really kind of look through some of that stuff. You know, looking in the boat for your required safety equipment, check your life jackets over. Make sure that all the straps are there, the buckles work. Something didn't chew them up or you didn't end up with a hole in it somehow. But make sure that you got good ones. You know, if you need it, you're going to want to have something that's a good life jacket. Also, now we're starting to see these inflatable ones a little more often. And those you need to do some maintenance on them every so often as well. They have the rearming kit, the CO2 cartridge that's in it. Those need to be replaced from time to time. They do have a lifespan on them, so double check those to see if the expiration date has passed on it. So you need to know that you can rearm those. And a rearming kit, you can pick them up at a lot of the places that sell the inflatable life jackets too. Moving on from there, your throwable device. If you have a boat that's 16 foot or longer, you need to have one of them Type 4 throwable devices. And also needs to be a Coast Guard approved throwable device. And same with that too. Make sure that it's a functional one. The straps aren't tore off it and it's not damaged or destroyed some way. And then your fire extinguisher, you know, that's one of the most often overlooked items in a boat. If you have a boat that's capable of trapping fuel vapors, if you have an inboard tank, or you put your gas tank inside of a compartment, you're going to need to have a fire extinguisher in there. Now, with the fire extinguisher, you know, you want to double check to make sure that's still got a charge to it. If it's got a gauge, you're able to read it pretty easy. Tip it upside down, tap on it, make sure that the retardant that's in it, make sure that it moves around in there. Now, some of the fire extinguishers that are out there, they don't have gauges on them. So some people are wondering, how do I check one of those? You know, I can shake it and feel there's stuff in it. But other than pulling the pin and discharging it, I don't know if it works. Well, with those, make sure you leave the pin in it, and there'll be a little plunger-type button on the top of it that you'd actually push to make it discharge the fire retardant. You push that down, but you have to make sure that pin is in it. Otherwise, it's going to discharge. So if you push the button down, you let go and it pops up, it's good. If you push it down and it stays down, time to get a new fire extinguisher because there's something wrong with it. So one of those things to look for there. Now, moving on in the boat, double-check your lights on your bow and your stern. This time of year especially, run across a lot of people that are fishing later on into the evening, and you want to make sure that those navigation lights are working before you need them. You know, if you're out there and it starts getting dark and you go to turn them on and they don't work, it's not the time to find out that they don't work. So definitely, you know, do some checks before you get out on the water. The other thing is, don't neglect your trailer either. The bearings, if you didn't have the bearings repacked and checked last fall, make sure you get those checked over. The last thing you want is to have a tire come off that trailer as you're going down the road. It's not that uncommon. So just, you know, do a little precautionary checks on that. And your trailer lights as well. Double check, make sure those are working. And once you get all that stuff going, you'll be ready to go. And I know I still have to do that on my boat, but it don't take too long to get it done.
No, I got some work to do on mine yet, but like you said, it don't take real long, and a little bit of work now will save you a lot of work in the long run, so, and a lot of headaches. So, like Jamie said, with the, especially with the throwable and the life jackets, the big one that we also see is they might have the life jacket, they might have the throwable device, but they do have to be in working condition, so they don't do you any good if they're dry rotted or got holes in them or the straps are broken. And it is illegal to have those, and they don't constitute what we need for our side when we come and check you. So make sure those are all in good function before you head out, and we should have a good spring here, so, or a good boating season. Also on today's show, we just want to hit up some other stuff. Just a reminder that I know we've been hitting the last couple of weeks, but don't want you guys to miss out. The applications are coming. The next applications that are due are the elk licenses, so your Custer Park elk, or archery elk, your Black Hills archery elk, Custer's firearm, any elk, the Custer firearms antlerless, and Black Hills firearm elk. Those are all due May 18th here, so that's coming up pretty quickly. So just don't miss out on that, or don't forget about it. Get those in, and we'll be good to go. Also, not only are those due on May 18th, but we also do have the paddlefish snagging license. Your Black Hills Bighorn Sheep and the Mountain Goat are all due on May 18th as well. So that's coming up. It's not super far out, but just don't forget. Also, just a reminder, hunt safe courses that are coming up. I know last week we mentioned them. This week I do have a few here to mention. For class or for actual sit-down classroom ones, we do have Lake Ponset coming up on May 18th and May 19th. May 18th, that's going to be from 6 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., and on the 19th, it's going to be from 8 o'clock a.m. to 4:30 p.m. That's at the Isaac Walton Building down there by Lake Ponset. Both classes do need to be attended for that one, so you'd have to be there for the full time for both of those classes in order to get your to pass the course and to get your certification. So, also coming up, Millbank is May 7th, 8th, and 10th. When I checked this morning, both of them still had room in the class. So
yeah, there's plenty of room in that Millbank class yet, and we want, you know, every kid or adult or whoever wants to come to it to have an opportunity to make it to a class. So we've got a lot of classes available on there, and to check what's available and when they are, you can go on to the Game Fish and Parks website, and over on the upper right hand corner you'll see a tab that says education. You can click on that tab, and then over on the left side you'll see another list of topics pop up, and one of those is hunter education. From there you can find the classroom course listings, and if there's one that the date's not going to work out for you, there's going to be a bunch of other ones that might, and a lot of these communities do have a couple of them every year, so if one doesn't work right away, you can sure get in on another one. And they are an important thing to get through. It's a hunter safety class, but a lot of it's firearm safety, and so many of the households around South Dakota do have firearms in the home, so it's a good thing to get your kids through just so they develop an understanding and safe handling of firearms.
Yep. And like I said, the Millbank one, that's May 7th, May 8th, and May 10th. Those are all 6 o'clock p.m. to, I'll take that back. They all start at 6. The first night on the 7th is till 9:30 p.m. The other two are till, two of them are till 9:30 p.m. The first one and the 7th and the 10th are till 9:30, and the 8th is till 9. So, also, Watertown has one coming up on May 19th. That's going to be the online course. That's just a one-day field course. But prior to that course, you must complete the online portion. You'll have to register online, take that online portion, print off your certificate once you pass the course, and bring that with you to the course on that day. And in order to take the field course or the field portion, you must have that certificate. So make sure you get that done before coming to the course on that day. Also, just a reminder for anybody that signed up in our food plot program, food plot seed is coming in. We do have a few bags of corn there yet. We're hoping to get more here in. We haven't gotten our full order in yet, so if you're looking for seed, I would call ahead of time just to make sure, especially if you're looking for that corn seed, make sure that you just call before you come in so we make sure we got enough corn for you and you don't drive all the way in and we don't have any. But sorghum and the brood mix, that stuff we got plenty of, so you can come in and get that if that's what you're looking for. Corn, we're hoping to get here in the next few weeks. So also, while we're on the line of food plots, it is that time of year for grass plantings and grass management and tree plantings and stuff. And just wanted to let all the landowners out there know that if you go to our homepage there on the internet, you can go to down, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of that homepage, there's a tab down there that says Landowner and Habitat Programs. If you click on that tab and go in there, it'll bring up a page, and at the top of the page, there'll be a little icon up there that says Habitat Pays. If you click on that, that'll give you a lot of information. That'll tell you who to contact for the different departments, not just our department, but Pheasants Forever, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the NRCS office. It gives all those contacts, and it shows for our department and some of those departments what programs are out there when it comes to wetlands or grass or trees or pretty much any of these programs, or even the food plot program I just mentioned is on there. It kind of explains all those, and if you have further questions, it can tell you who your best contact would be for that area for that program. So kind of a nice little page. It'll give you something to, if you're just interested, it gives you a lot of information, and you can find out quite a bit there. And I know some guys have clicked on that and found out that there's a lot of programs out there that they didn't even know about. So it's a nice page to get to and go scrolling through, especially if you're looking at doing some wildlife habitat management on your property. So with that, before we go today, I also was asked by Dan Sturdhagen down in Hamlin County there. Hamlin County Sportsman's Club's got a smelt feed coming up here. It's on May 5th is the first date. That's going to be from 5 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. And on May 6th, it's going to be from 11 o'clock a.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. That's down at Hamlin County there. So
go enjoy some smelt.
So anything else up in your neck of the woods or anything else for the listeners today?
No, not too much else. Just we're getting into that time period where it's time to spend time outside. Don't let the spring shoot past you without spending a little bit of time outside and do some fishing. And if you got a turkey tag, you got some time to do that and spend some time outdoors, especially take a kid out there and let them experience it right along with you.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for listening, everyone, and we hope to see you out there.